Well, I want to thank the prior presenters because they really set up the need for information about the toxins in water, innovative strategies to educate others, and takeaway points. And I also thank you all for still being here at the end of a long conference. The purpose of my presentation is how to engage undergraduate nursing students, follow up on what Julie was saying, is how you educate people to really understand some of the important issues around environmental health exposures. And the topic that I'm talking about, water, which is the topic of our conference, emerged out of my interest in environmental health, where I work on campus not only teaching nursing students, but I work in a multidisciplinary course on sustainabilities. And in the introduction to sustainabilities course, we pick a topic every semester. And we've had food, we've had consumption, we've had water. This semester we're doing sustainable cities. But because of the topic with water, it really sparked my interest in saying that theme could carry through and approach two of the main issues that I'm concerned about, environmental health, but also the global health issue around health in general, which emerges from water. So, can I do it with this?
You can do it with that, or you can do it.
Okay. I have nothing to disclose. And this is a bit of a personal issue here. This, I'm blessed to have this view out my home office window. If you were to look further to the right, where I didn't photograph, there's a city there. A city called Fall River, which is in our region. But I look at this river when I'm working at home and the bay beyond it, and I see the nice serene water. I also see recreational use, access. People leave from here and can access all the way to the intercoastal waterway and have sailed to Bermuda. I see people using it for sustenance, a lot of quahoggers, which is a type of clam we have in New England. And yet in the distance over there on the left, you see the Brayton Point Power Station, which is reported to be the largest industrial source of pollution in New England. It has over 500,000 ton mountain of coal sitting there that you can't see in the distance. What you're looking at in the near slide is Swansea, Massachusetts. Beyond that, the power plant is in Somerset, Massachusetts, and way beyond that is the Taunton River and Fall River. But they aren't that far. This is about a mile and a half air miles from my home. So there's this real contradiction, because what Brayton Point Power Station is doing is it's not only probably one of the worst air polluters in all of New England or the country, discharging all sorts of terrible air toxins and causing one of the highest asthma rates in the region in our county, but it withdraws about 1 billion gallons of water from the bay to actually condense steam to pressure the production of electricity, and then it returns water at 95 degrees. Now, the water temperature that is drawn in is a lot lower. So by doing that, it's changed the aquatic life in the bay. And they're currently working on a multi-billion dollar project to try and get 50-story cooling towers, which I will soon see in the distance there. To cool water. I would much rather see those billions go into a lot of wind generators, but that's not there. There's another shot of the power station from above, so the things you couldn't see from my window. But in my thinking about water when I started to put the course together around water as central to life, was to really recognize the importance of water. And again, just like Julie, I quote Rachel Carson, in an age when man has forgotten his origins and is blind even to his most essential needs for survival, water, along with other resources, has become the victim of his indifference. And historically, water's had a lot of symbolism, which you can see here. But interestingly, when I started my nursing program and nursing fundamentals, water was essential. First, we learned to bathe people. We learned to worry about intake and output and about hydration and about mixing meds with saline and intravenous fluids. So it certainly was central to my nursing care. However, there's been a real paradigm shift, because initially I always thought water was just always clean and always wonderful, and it was of great use, but we've had always had threats of water and its destructive powers. I live in an area that most of my neighborhood was pretty much flattened during the 1938 hurricane, but we've seen even more so with global climate change how destructive, and the flooding in the Midwest, Hurricane Katrina, and places around the world. We've also been sold a bill of goods with this unclean water and the need for bottled water that's taking place everywhere, and the fact that water can be cleaned and purified with appropriate treatment, and it doesn't have to be put into a plastic bottle. And more recently, the whole notion of water as scarce, with the water wars that are discussed in the popular press, but also academically, with what's happening as water becomes more scarce globally. Certainly climate change and water, because of climate change, we're leaving over 1 billion people without access to safe water, and water sources are disappearing. I don't know if any of you got to see the film that was shown over in the Technology Center called Water First, but it was really troubling to see just small trickles and people waiting there in, with their buckets to try to gather what water was not there. And certainly, it contributes to about 5 million deaths a year. I believe on their film, they dedicated it to the 4,000 children that would die today from lack of safe water. Even as long ago as 10 years ago, the World Bank Institute reported all sorts of issues around water globally, and certainly the sites that you've been that have been referenced with the Environmental Working Group, EPA's water site, others will also report some of the hazards in water. But to look globally in that final point of how serious it is when people lack safe water, and as the first presenters talked about, the knowledge level of public health nurses as being dreadfully inadequate, to think about nurses in general, because if anyone was going to know about water, you would hope it would be public health nurses. So why did I focus on water? Well, as I mentioned, it was a personal priority, and you see up in the corner, I'm a Pisces, so I think this came about from my intrauterine water experience. I also spent many summers working as a lifeguard, so water was always there. But I live in a coastal community, and the whole area where my university is, where I work, and along there is a coastal community that continues on to Cape Cod. We're in the part you go over a large bridge on the way to Cape Cod if you're traveling from New York or Philadelphia. Bless you. The fact that it could unify a course, because I have two personal passions within public health, and one of them is environmental health, the other is global health, and they certainly intersect around the issue of water. And as I said, I developed this interest after our sustainability course. And because it is so critical to a global health crisis. There are some facts here to ponder that, you know, about our consumption of water, about how much water we as human beings use every day, how much we drink in glasses of water, and unfortunately some of them are not in glasses, they're in bottles, how water is useful to regulate our own body temperature, but to the temperature of the earth, and it does other things. And right now, as I'm learning to deal with my arthritis, I wish there were more cushioning in my joints. And water has been shown to cause many health effects from toxic chemicals, which we've heard in the prior presentation, so I don't really have to go over that point in the event of time. I can just remind you that there are many health hazards, some of which were discussed in more depth earlier. So to tell you how I came about doing this, I decided that sometimes a good takeaway point, Julie mentioned that we have an, what would you use, edutainment, I like that, but that there's so much information, and for those of you who are nursing educators, at the undergraduate level, sometimes the content in our community health course seems to be a walkthrough, a topic a week, because there's so many different areas, including disaster preparedness, including environmental health, and just learning about the community participation, and engaging the community assessment and planning, and all of that. So I was also challenged because in this particular undergraduate course, it is RN students, so I felt they could apply it to their personal and professional life, But it's a blended course, so it's half online. And that means that all of these different topics seem like a bombardment of different topics. And then the majority have had no exposure because they were ADN graduates, no exposure in public or community health, and they usually work in ICU or emergency rooms. This is some of the areas that are typical to any public health nursing faculty syllabus, and they're all areas where I integrated this theme of water. So after a while, they're hearing a lot about it, but hopefully the message will hit them that this is an area where they can carry on as a branch to issues around the environment and global health. So this offered a bit of a seamlessness. Now, for the upstream focus, some of you may be familiar with the metaphor used in nursing and medical sociology. It began with John McKinley's article, A Case for Refocusing Upstream, back in the 70s, late 70s, I believe. Then Patricia Butterfield used it in 1990 with Thinking Upstream. Certainly, Sandra Steingraber's book about downstream from toxins and her own ecologist perspective on being a cancer survivor. But the story that's told originally by John McKinley is about rescuing people from the river downstream instead of going upstream to see who's pushing them in, a real metaphor to our medical care system that doesn't work. So I start the semester with that focus, and they keep it through the semester. In community assessment, as I said, we live in coastal communities. They're on the lower right, you see Fall River, and if you've ever driven to Cape Cod, you've gone over that big bridge on Route 195, and Fall River is to the right side of the screen there. And the upper left picture is New Bedford, which is the other large community, and my university smack in the middle. The community has a large maritime history. New Bedford's well known for its whaling industry. But at the same time, Fall River actually comes from the native word Quikishan, which means falling waters. And there was a river that is now buried under 195 called the Quikishan River that's no longer visible. But that was the falling waters, and it started the mill industry in our area. So they used their community assessment to really examine water in terms of its safety, its accessibility, what it means to the community, its own history, to identify hazards, to look at references for hazards, and to also understand the vitality of the harbor in New Bedford and the boundaries of the water. In the health policy class, I do use the film on natural causes in a number of classes to really get at the notion of the social determinants of health and to help them understand health in the context with health disparities and social justice. But the film clip, Bad Sugar, talks about this, the social policies where the Gila River was dammed to satisfy the needs of the white ranchers. And so those living downstream from two different Native American populations were without water, suffering consequences of a prevalence rate of 50% of the population having diabetes. So this really enrages the students to think about this and the accessibility to water and what it means in transforming health. Of course, in the EPI class, great example from John Snow, even understanding that before the pathogen can be clearly understood, the methods of epidemiology, and in the case, the relationship to the famous pump handle in the river. For the communicable disease class, they could identify a common agent, a pathogen of some sort, communicable infectious agent, and then they had to identify all the typical chain of infection steps through the process, but they really had to think about the relevance of water. And working jointly with the clinical faculty who were having them this fall look at H1N1 in particular and the readiness of their own workplaces around H1N1, it helped them to focus on water as either a reservoir or somewhere to stop that chain of infection with the frequent hand washing and the sites. Certainly in emergency preparedness, again, H1N1, but the case example from the lessons learned from Hurricane Katrina and also the flooding that has taken place in the Midwest was a way to, again, remind them about the importance of water and dangers. In the interest of time, I'm running out of time, but to really notice that environmental health can address them and hit them with the issues, as Julie mentioned, that are relevant in terms of body burden, in terms of examples, and the tap into prevention, which is accessible from CDC, ATSDR, gives case studies around the lead, cryptosporidium, and the blue baby syndrome. But it helps them to learn about advocacy, both in their personal, workplace, and community settings. Again, being reminded of health disparities and the social determinants of health, and how, as was mentioned previously, not all people are affected equally, and who and when are people most vulnerable. And finally, in global health, bringing it all together to say, what about this access to water and safe water? And unfortunately, in the developing world, it isn't just climate change and its effect on having water and what we've more commonly thought of as all the infectious microbes that are dangerous in water that affect human health, but it is also the growing concerns about toxins as they adopt some of the bad practices we have here and are burning plastics in the other parts of the world, and climate change. And here, the intersection of health, environment, and global implications are paramount. In terms of evaluating, it certainly helps to give a major thread to the course, and it heightens the students' interest in one area that they can take away and hopefully can branch out into other areas of not just water pollution, but air pollution, and to think personally, professionally, and in their communities, since they are practicing RNs and have families and homes, to think about changes they can make with a takeaway point that hopefully threads across a very week-to-week, sometimes unlinked curriculum. Thank you.